I was 10 years old when I got baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, California. At 10 years of age, I did not understand the full implications that I was signing a lifelong contract that stipulates if I ever left the group, I would be shunned by everyone I ever knew, including my family. After I became an adult, I began researching my faith, something I would have never known to do as a 9 or 10 year old. As a result of my research, I stopped attending meetings at the Kingdom Hall, never to return. Shortly thereafter, two of the elders from my congregation visited me at my home. They stepped inside, and I began sharing with them my research, at which they began asking me a bunch of questions.
Do you think this is the truth? Are you questioning Jehovah's organization? Do you still want to be recognized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses?
I later submitted my disassociation letter to the congregation. As a result, it has now been 20 years, and my family has refused to talk to me because they said I turned my back on God by leaving the Jehovah's Witness religion. I have been barred from the lives of my parents, grandparents, and my 4 siblings. To add insult to injury, when my brother died after refusing a blood transfusion, I read about his death in the obituary. I wasn't even invited to his funeral.
You're listening to The Critical Thought, where we challenge our listeners to use critical thinking when examining the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Hi, I'm Lady C, and I want to thank you for tuning in to our videos. We really enjoy helping people to learn about the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Unfortunately, the experience at the beginning of this video is actually true. Millions of people have been affected by this religion in some way or another. We have so many people, various stories that we've heard throughout our experience in the religion, as well as after leaving, about the number of children that have been encouraged to get baptized at young ages, not realizing the ramifications of what's going to happen if they decide they no longer want to practice this religion. And it's so unfortunate because, you know, when you think about the age of a person getting baptized at 10 years old, you can't even drive a car at that age. And yet, here these children are being encouraged to make life decisions before they can even determine whether or not they want to even belong to such an organization. And when you keep in mind that so many people are attracted to this religion for various reasons, you can only imagine what happens to an individual when they wake up one day and they discover that this is not what they want to do, or in the case with this youngster in this experience, they actually went out and did research about this religion. And they determined that, hey, this is not the truth. I don't want to do this anymore, all to the detriment of being cut off and shunned from their friends and family. And it is very tragic. Now, in the upcoming video, JT is going to discuss the various things that people do when they find out this is not the truth and what they want to do, whether they want to disassociate themselves or whether they've decided that they want to just fade.
You know, that is probably one of the most often asked questions. Once I realize that this is not the truth, how do I leave? How do I get out of this thing? And there are basically 2 ways that people have chosen over the years to leave. People will often sit down and write out a 25, 30-page letter outlining all the various things that the society has gotten wrong, even though they said it was from God. And they'll send it off to the congregation, and they'll do it in the format of what is known as a disassociation letter. Then there are others who they just simply decide, I'm just going to fade, just stop going to the meetings, you know, just move on with my life. And so when people ask us that question, I often tell them, and this is just something we have observed over the years, that the answer to that question, it depends. There are so many factors that each individual, after you realize that this is simply not the truth, you know, good people, they want to do what's right, But so much of the information simply has nothing to do with the Bible. As I've said before, it's merely the opinion of men that's been elevated to divine status. And for many people, once they realize that, they realize, I can't keep preaching and teaching what's nothing more than men's opinion. And so they realize that it's not the truth as we were told for so many years. So then they're faced with, how do I leave? And it's interesting, it's almost kind of the same way as when you become one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I tell people, you basically will have to leave the same way you came in. For example, when a person starts studying with Jehovah's Witnesses, the witness will tell him, now when you share your newfound knowledge with your family and your friends, they're going to discourage you. They're going to tell you, you need to stop that. Well, it's interesting, is it not, that when you share your newfound knowledge with your current friends, Jehovah's Witnesses, they say exactly the same thing. So it's really fascinating when you consider it. But I tell people, you have to look at your circumstances. Let me just give you some examples of how, for some people, what one person does may not work for another person. There was a woman. She got involved with Jehovah's Witnesses. She started studying the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. And she finally reached the point of dedication and baptism. She had absolutely no family at all who were Jehovah's Witnesses. She actually, after getting baptized, she became a regular pioneer. She actually went on to marry an elder in the congregation. Well, she started going back to school. And of course, she started having conversations with people. And they started posing questions for her. And she just continued to examine it and ask the critical thinking questions. And she reached the point where she realized, this is not the truth. And here I am, a regular pioneer married to an elder. And she realized that she had to make changes. And so she made a decision that she would leave this organization. Now, when she left, the only person she had to deal with was her husband. Her family, they looked at her, and it was interesting how her family looked at her. Her family said, you know what? When you became one of Jehovah's Witnesses, we said she's just going through a phase in her life. Like when we was young, we went to Woodstock. And now here we are, CEOs of corporations, doctors and lawyers and so forth. So she's just going through a phase. And so when she left the organization, her family welcomed her back with open arms. They were like, girl, we knew you were crazy, but we welcome her back. Come on, let's keep rolling. And so for her, her life was totally different when she left the organization. Now, contrast that to someone else that we know. There is a woman. She has two beautiful children. Her husband is an elder, but her parents are elders and pioneers. Her brothers and sisters are elders and pioneers. On her husband's side of the family, they're all elders and pioneers. And she's come to the point in her life where she realized, this is not the truth. Now, for her, her entire life is different. The way in which she will leave, unlike the other girl who just wrote a letter and says, I'm out of here, catch y'all later, is totally different. So it varies from person to person. You know, my mom told me when we were leaving, she said, one of the things that people have to do is they have to start building a new clientele of friends. Many times when people write letters to disassociate themselves, for them, it is something that works for them individually. For other people that we've talked to and we've met over the years, they wish that they had at least waited or took a different approach. The reason why is because they simply were not prepared. I mean, literally not prepared for the backlash that they got. I tell people all the time, you need to understand, part of the training of a Jehovah's Witness is they are trained over and over and over. They are prepared for the day that anyone walks up to them and says, so and so and so about the organization. They're ready. And just like anybody who has an ATM and they go to the bank and they punch those pins in three or four times the wrong way and that bank will shut down right there. That ATM machine just shuts down. Well, that's what happens with Jehovah's Witnesses. See, a lot of people think, well, let me just talk to so-and-so. They might listen. Well, that may be true. But for the vast majority of people that we have personally seen and worked with over the years, the minute that they mention something about, you know, I was reading something I ran across something. I saw something on the internet. Jehovah's Witnesses are taught trigger words. These are words that will trigger a certain reaction. And anything for the vast majority of Jehovah's Witnesses that even hints at, alludes to, implies that the organization is wrong, for so many Jehovah's Witnesses, they will shut down right on the spot. And they'll say, are you questioning the organization? Are you questioning Jehovah? Are you questioning God? And so that's what they've been trained for. And so many people, they're not prepared for that. And so as a result, they struggle with now having to deal with families who have just simply cut them off. So for some people, they decide, well, I'll fade. And for that, it gives them, as one person says, it gives me time. I needed time to get myself and my thoughts together as to how I would personally deal with the day if my family just simply stopped dealing with me. And so they were better prepared. They built new friends. Because one thing is for sure, if you tell people that you do not believe that this is the truth anymore, these people are going to cut you off at the knees. Family doesn't matter. I tell people all the time, you know, the old saying, blood is thicker than water. That's not true. Absolutely not true. Jehovah's Witnesses, if the Watchtower writers say it, they will do it. In fact, I remember a time where they used to actually read off people who were unbaptized publishers. These many times were Jehovah's Witnesses kids who hadn't gotten baptized, and they might have gotten some trouble, whatever, and they would read their names off. And as a result, these people would be treated just like a disfellowship baptized Jehovah's Witness. In fact, I know people right now who were read off when they was 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. And to this very day, they're 35, 40, 50 years old. There are witnesses who are still like, you were kicked out years ago. I'm not talking to you. And so that's because some witnesses don't even realize that the society changed the policy. And the reason why they changed that policy, because the society got sued by a lot of people who were non-Jehovah's Witnesses. That's why they changed the announcement they used to give at the Kingdom Hall. So-and-so is conduct unbecoming a Christian. So the society got sued for slander, and it was like, we got to change this. We can't keep making this announcement to folks like this. Because it's announced at the Kingdom Hall. It's a public setting, and you have someone standing up there slandering somebody. And so the society got sued so much, they're like, look, let's just change how we read it. Just make a short little announcement and call the day. And so that's what happens. And so I tell people, you know, once you realize this is not the truth, you have to look at your own personal circumstances and ask, you know, what direction do I need to go in? And so you get literally the entire gamut. You get people, I know people, you know, at night they're going to make their announcement. They'll go to the Kingdom Hall and they'll make their announcement. So and so has been disassociated. They'll stand up in front of the Kingdom Hall and make a speech and walk out. And for others, they simply just leave quietly. So it depends. It varies. And the reason it varies is because you have to deal with whatever the backlash is. The biggest thing I find is that most people are simply not prepared. If you are prepared and you understand, once I speak to my mom or my dad, they may make the decision, well, son, I'm cutting you off. You don't live with us anymore. I'm cutting you off. And if you're not prepared for that, oh my goodness. Over the years and with the form that we have now, we have heard from so many people. I mean, the stories are just heartbreaking. People have not seen their grandchildren. Their children have not seen their grandparents. Because for some witnesses, they take it to the absolute extreme. And they are often commended. You know, the Watchtower will do articles. They'll have talks at the assembly, basically making the point, are you still dealing with your children who left the organization? Yeah, they'll have articles like that. And so all of a sudden, and I've had people tell me, you know, I thought we was getting along good with my mom and dad. You know, we was talking to them and everything. And they went to the district center. They came back like, we can't talk, you know, mom. We got to cut out. We got to cut this out. You know, if anybody's sick or dying, don't call. You know, so that's the kind of crazy stuff that you see. So each person, you need to evaluate. You know, have you put in place the things that you're going to lose? If you have, then you can do it any way you want to and you'll be just fine. But if you have not put in place new friends, new environments, new things to do, for some people, they move to an entirely different area. For some people, they start building new clientele of friends. It varies from person to person. But one thing is for sure, you must be prepared because the witness is prepared. They've been preparing for it all their life. The most interesting thing that happened to my wife and I, The people who treated us the worst, were those who were often disfellowshipped, on reproof, and they were actually one fingernail out of the organization. But when we question what's in the Watchtower pamphlets, that's all that matters. As one person told me, yes, I've committed fornication 2 or 3 times and I've gotten in trouble in the organization and everything. Yes, JT, I did do that, but I did it because I was weak. You turned your back on God. And I'm thinking, and so I asked him, I said, so if I don't agree with the explanation that's published in the Watchtower journals by a group of writers out of New York City, that constitutes turning my back on God. And he sat there and you could just see like, yeah, but and so it's just amazing because critical thinking is not something that Jehovah's Witnesses often do. And so that's why when you get ready to tell a Jehovah's Witness what you have learned, you will get actually many times the same reaction as when you were coming into this organization and you told family. And so I tell people all the time, just make sure that you are prepared for when the Jehovah's Witness starts doing what he has been taught all his life. And that is to have nothing to do or little to do with those who question what the Watchtower writers print in their publications. So I tell people, just make sure that you are ready and prepared for the backlash, because the backlash will come. As I was told many, many years ago, you will not leave this organization intact. You need to understand that and be prepared.
Why do some write a disassociation letter?
Why do some people write a disassociation letter as opposed to just fading? Well, over the years in working with people and talking to people, we have found that people write disassociation letters for a number of different reasons. For some people, for them, it's therapeutic. They need to bring closure to their life as being involved with Jehovah's Witnesses. And so they will write a disassociation letter. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's why I try to stress to anyone, each person has to consider what his circumstances are and what he or she is dealing with. That's how you decide what to do. What works for Johnny might not work for Sally. And you need to understand that. So for some people, it's therapeutic. For others, they feel, I just need to let people know. I just want to let people know. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but the interesting thing about that is it also reflects something about the Jehovah's Witness culture. One of the things as a Jehovah's Witness is that we're always made to feel that we have to explain whatever we do. If a person doesn't come to the meeting, brother so-and-so, miss you at the meeting. Well, the witness many times feel they have to explain. Well, I missed the meeting, brother, because I couldn't get off work. They couldn't find nobody, and on and on and on. Or someone says, well, sister, your hours were kind of low this month. Well, I couldn't go out and field service this month, brother, because, you know, the dog was sick, the cat was sick, my wife was sick, my husband was sick, and the list goes on and on. So part of Jehovah's Witness culture is a witness always feels he has to explain his actions. So interestingly, as one guy told me, he says, amazing how even on the way out the door, we still comply to what the society wants us to do. And basically, the society wants you to write that letter. They appreciate that letter. And so what happens is you'll get different types of letters. Some people, they'll write a one-page letter, half a paragraph. And then there are others who will write literally a book. I've had people say, JT, you know, I'm putting together my disassociation letter and take a look at it. And they'll shoot it to me and I'll look at it and it'll be like 35, 40 pages of everything the society has ever taught that turned out to be absolutely wrong. They'll start back with Charles Taz Russell, the Harp of God, and they'll come all the way to last week in terms of what they will write, and they will have citations, and they will have Xerox copies. And I mean, it's amazing.
How does the society view these letters?
So when a person writes a disassociation letter, how is it viewed by the elders? Or if a person sends it all the way to Bethel, how is it viewed? Well, this is interesting, and that's why I tell people, before you write a disassociation letter, you need to understand how it's going to be received. One of the things that they taught us at elder school was if you get a disassociation letter, there's no need to read the whole thing. In fact, only read enough to ascertain that this is a disassociation letter. So while the person may be saying, I'm going to let them know exactly why I'm leaving, they don't really care. All they want to know is, Is this person turning his back on God? And once they ascertain that, there's nothing else. In fact, typically if a letter is received, the other bodies of the other members of the body of the elder, they won't even read it. One person has read enough to ascertain, and that's all we need. We don't all need to sit here and start looking. Can you imagine if elders started reading the letter, and then you have an elder who's like, well, you know, he said he's leaving because some of our teaching is not based on the Bible. In fact, he gave two citations. I looked both of them up, and I hate to say it, brothers. He's right. These teachings are not based on the Bible. So that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And if you send the letter to Bethel, it's even worse because it typically ends up in a department called the service department. And the guys who work in the service department, the reason that they are there is because they have a demonstrated track record that they can follow directives, policies, guidelines, and procedures. In fact, you may see sites on the web where someone is showing how a phone call was made to Bethel. And if you notice and you listen, you will see these guys do not go off script because they have demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt, I can stay on script. And that's why they will go and go and go, because they're not going off script. So when they get a letter like this, it's going to typically get kicked right back to the congregation where the person is from. So they're not going to handle it, and they're not going to sit there and listen to see what your reasons were. And the reason why is very simple. I tell people all the time, Jehovah's Witnesses are already told the reason that people leave. There is no excuse, no reason, no logic. There is nothing that you can do in terms of offering an explanation as to why you are leaving that's going to be acceptable. It's not. And it's because every Jehovah's Witness knows why you're leaving. Because you have a bad heart, you got a wicked heart, you're turning your back on God. They've already been given the answer. And I tell people, think about this. That's why when a person is disfellowshipped, their closest and best friends never say, Bob, what happened? And they never stop by and say, Bob, they read you off tonight. What's going on, man? I mean, you and I, we've been tight for years. They never, because every Jehovah's Witness has already been given the reason. The Watchtower makes sure they know exactly why you're leaving. Even if it has nothing to do with why you're actually leaving, doesn't matter. Now, for me personally, I wouldn't waste a paper, pen, or stamp to send a dissociation letter when people ask me. But that's just me.
Have you ever thought about your civil rights?
Another thing to consider, when you're writing a dissociation letter, keep in mind the society has this basically set up for legal reasons. And the legal reasons basically are not going to be in your behalf. In fact, if you were to talk to certain attorneys, especially civil rights attorneys, you would probably find what we have found is that you could possibly be literally giving up some of your civil rights. Now, can you imagine? Because, see, keep in mind, we always think in terms of the United States, or we think in terms of the West, you know, England and so forth. But witnesses are located in over 200 countries around the world with all kinds of laws in existence and future laws that will be on the books. Can you imagine if Jehovah's Witnesses reached a point where they could be sued because of telling people medical advice without any medical degrees? And if you talk to an attorney, one of the things they will always tell you, never ever give up your civil rights. So when you get ready to write your disassociation letter, think about all these different parameters and all these different facets that come into play when you're writing a disassociation letter.
Yeah, they say people fade in different ways.
So, and of course, people fade in different manners. Some people, they fade by literally moving to an entirely different new area. Some people, interesting, they'll change congregations and fade. They'll say, well, I'm going to the foreign language congregation. I'm going to sign language, whatever. And they'll use that as an opportunity for themselves to heal. But the whole point is you have to make sure that you are prepared when you step out for the backlash that you will definitely receive.
So many people become emotional after discovering this is not the truth.
So for some people, because they have now found out the things that they found out, they become just emotional because their entire world is falling apart. And that's the way it is. If you are a former Jehovah's Witness, the entire world that you had built up, all the things you were taught, they start crumbling around you. And so people become emotional. And so they'll make decisions not thinking through it rationally. One of the things that my wife and I, we have had to experience in talking to people is that there's so many people who, it's not that they have never left the organization, it's the way and the manner in which they left. Leave on your terms. And in order to leave on your terms, take your time. You can always write a letter. You always can fade. But just make sure you leave on your terms, the same way as you came in.
Thank you for tuning in to The Critical Thought. This has been JT and Lady C. And if you enjoyed this presentation, be sure to click the like button. And we're looking forward to hearing all of your comments and your responses and your suggestions. And let's just keep it moving, folks. Let's help as many people as we can by joining our voices online.
This program was sponsored by Critical Thinkers.